Welcome to the Reverse the Universe podcast. It's your boy, Big Mike the Don. I'm here with a very special guest today, someone who can help you grow and make a lot of money. And I know Big Mike the Don loves money. Mr. Harrison Barron, did I say it right?
That is correct, man. That is correct.
Perfect. Well, Mr. Barron here has a company that he helps entrepreneurs and people who have companies build up their clientele by adding websites and doing stuff with social media, and basically can make them a lot of money. So I'm not in his shoes, so I'm going to let him do a little brief introduction on what he does for a living.
Cool, man. Thanks. So yeah, my name is Harrison Barron. I own a company, Growth Generators. For anyone that wants to go check it out, growth-generators.com. And really, you know, what we do is, a lot of companies don't realize that building a presence online and stuff like that it sounds crazy, but it's really not that hard. But a lot of times it comes down to companies either not willing to spend the money on it, they don't have the budget to do it, or they don't know where to start. And those are really the three main problems that we see. And we just try to, you know, obviously we bill, but you know, we resolve those issues by alleviating those things and making sure that, hey, you know, if you have money, but you don't have time to go do it, we can take care of it. If you have, you know, if you don't have money, but you have time, you know, go do it yourself. And, you know, we have a ton of content online between, you know, my personal YouTube channel and the company YouTube channel on how to grow, you know, your presence online. And we're constantly creating new stuff, you know, to help people.
My whole thing is, you know, is if you have the money to do so, it always helps. Cause like you said, time is valuable. That's what I've always said to myself in my own trade. It's like, my time is valuable. So if I have to charge for something, or, you know, if people have to pay money for a service, that's, you know, that's the American way. That's the way things work. Growing online and stuff that I've learned for myself, it's really, I mean, you're making it sound easy. I've tried to do some stuff online myself. You know, I'm not the most tech savvy, as me and Harrison here had some technical difficulties in the beginning trying to get this thing to even work. But yeah, like I said, just trying to, you know, make a presence online, make a website, try to get traffic and stuff like that. It's like, you know, it takes a long time for an individual to really do so, you know, and I guess you guys have kind of perfected the art of it. So if you have the money and, you know, you want to put it out for someone to actually do it the proper way, you guys are out there.
That is correct. So yeah, you know, it's definitely a bit of an art. You know, I would definitely say I wouldn't say we've perfected it. I don't think perfection exists. I think that we're, you know, there's a fine line between perfection and good enough. So, you know, there's always, you know, there's always something that could be better, right? Like, what version of the iPhone are we on now, right? There's always something that could be done better, and the way everything works. So what we do is we just try to help rank companies on online. So when you go to Google, or you go to Bing, or whatever search engine you decide to use, right, we try to provide the most relevant information for our customers, right? That's really what we're doing. We're not necessarily marketing. We help the customer's customer. So that end user who needs a solution. So if it's, you know, an IT company and they're looking to help more businesses grow, you know, to make sure that their data is secure and, you know, their uptime is good and their employee monitoring is good and all that kind of stuff. Like, we're going to create content that another small business owner who's actively looking for an IT company, you know, or maybe in the initial stages of research to say, oh, these guys can do everything that we need them to do, or have proven that they know what to do. Let's go hire these people and then go in. And it's cool. Like, it's a long-term game. Most companies could do it. They don't either know where to start, or, you know, a couple reasons, but, you know, doing something, or at least just helping people and putting it out online is far better than doing nothing. And I've always preached that. I'm like, you should be only hiring us as a last resort of, you know, you don't have time, you don't have the employees to do it. And but you have money because you're working so much.
But the one thing that you hit on, I always found fascinating, that I've been doing my own research on, is the whole SEO. Sure. So like, you know, online, I guess that's how you like generate traffic. It's because you put yourself at the head of the lines and all the search engines and stuff like that. For like what your company does for other people, when you bring that kind of traffic, you know, like how much can you grow just by, you know, I guess you have to invest in SEOs, right? Like you have to put money into these search engines.
Yep. You don't have to put money in the search engine. So that's more of like paid ads. When we do stuff, it's more of they're paying us. So it values so tremendously. And the reason why I say it values so tremendously, right? So let's just say hypothetically, you know, you're a $5 million, $3 million company, and you come to us and you say, hey, we want to hire you guys, right? And we said, great. You know, we talk about everything and stuff like that. And we really like kind of dive into the details. So when I say the details, we're having a conversation with like, hey, how much is every customer worth to you? Right. So for some companies, a customer might be worth $5,000. For other companies, a customer might be worth $60,000, might be worth $100,000, $200,000, $1 million. Like what, like the number doesn't really matter, but ultimately that's how we can, one, kind of justify how much we cost. And then two, how we kind of measure results. So when I say measure results, right, we can, if we got, you know, a company to 1 million clicks per year, right, that's phenomenal. It's 100 and change, you know, or 80,000 clicks a month. But that sounds really cool, but if none of them are converting, that doesn't mean anything. So right. What we do is we have to look at it and say, hey, if every customer is worth, let's just say $20,000 a year, right? And if we charge $5,000 a month, right, that means we have to bring you a minimum of 3 customers to cover our costs of us. That's not including your overhead and paying your employees and things like that. So realistically, we have to bring you probably between 5 and 10 new clients for the entire year to justify spending money with us. And that's really what we do is when you put it in that frame of mind, it's like, oh, okay. So if I deliver you one client per month that's ready to buy, knows about your company, knows exactly what you do, and then I can tee it up for your sales guy, all your sales guy has to do is close it. Like it's already a hot lead. They're interested. I can track everything that they've been on your website, what they've downloaded, the emails they've read, all that kind of stuff. Mm. That's really where the value comes in, where we can say, hey, we brought you one new customer. That customer is worth $20,000 this month, right? We charged 5, which left you 15 on the table. Now that 15 can be broken down. Let's say 7,000 is profit and then 7,000 is overhead.
It's not really who's coming to your websites and stuff like that. It's who's really closing, you know, and that's like what the customer acquisition cost, you know what I mean? For like, you know, for like smaller retailers, you know, people who are still closed and stuff like that, they try to stay what, like, you know, maybe like a couple bucks a customer or something like that. I mean, I guess you're dealing with like some high end stuff. If, you know, if one customer is going to cost, you know, $5,000 or something like that. But I mean, it's all what you're doing. What is like the main source of customers you guys see? You know, like, is it more like financial companies or?
Sure. So we work really good in like 3 main areas. So I came from the IT world and the MSP world. So information technology, your local break fix kind of shop, to managed service provider. So making sure that your computers are always working, making sure that they're doing preventative maintenance, all that kind of stuff. So we work really, really well in that because I know that space like the back of my hand. The next area is really tech focused businesses. So tech focused businesses, it doesn't really matter what business it is, as long as they're very interested in using technology to progress their growth. A lot of businesses, believe it or not, don't use technology nearly as much as they should. And when I say technology, I mean, they want email sequences. They're actively looking for somebody to help them build an email. So they understand the value of it. They just don't know how to do it themselves, right? And then we can come in, we look like rock stars, we can do everything for them. And then in return, they can immediately grow tremendously fast because they're interested in using tech. It's not like they have to, I have to force them into adopting it. And then the third people are like really obscure companies. So when I say obscure companies, companies that you wouldn't imagine being interested in tech and kind of things like that. So when I say that, like landscaping companies, like they're not our target market, but there's nobody in their space. Like when I say it's a desert as far as content, like every digital marketer knows what I do and they know all the secrets that I know. And they're not really secrets, but like they know the value of creating content, creating videos, all that kind of stuff. Where a landscaper, a pool designer, a power washing company, a you know, a printing company. Like, they don't understand the value of creating content. So when we could go in and we can, you know, we do what we do, right? And maybe they have a smaller package or a larger package, like, that doesn't really matter. But we can go in and we could dominate Google for a variety of different words and keep them at the top for obnoxiously long periods of time because they have almost no competition, because their competition doesn't understand what we do. And that's where we, like, weirdly enough, I don't want to say I don't love it, because I do love it, but it's like those people don't think about it. But when they say, oh, let me go do that, we kill it for them.
Well, that's what everything's about these days. Like, well, what is it about when you're trying to, like, build something now? It's all about technology. It's all about getting your name out there, people watching your stuff, you know? And like you were saying before, like, you can keep track, and it's a little scary, but you can keep track of who's looking at what and downloading what on websites. And, you know, people can pinpoint and focus in on doing things with people off of just the data that you have, you know?
Yeah.
That's scary, but at the same sense, it's not for harm. I mean, you're just trying to make customer acquisitions. You're trying to get people, you know, to profit off what they're doing. And it's not like they're not providing a service, but at the same time, it's like, you know, like landscapers, stuff like that, you know, cause you know, you gotta think like the labor trade. I'm in the labor trade. I'm the HVAC tech. So like when we think of stuff like that, we think of a lot of word of mouth, old school. You know what I mean? It's all about, you know, you go to Mary Sue's house and Mary Sue's going to tell her cousin, and it's just going to go word of mouth. But what I've learned today, especially with podcasting, it's hard. You know, there's such a big market out there where it's like, you know, it's so hard unless you can really get that traffic. You know, I try to make my own videos. I'm not the greatest at all this stuff, but I try to make relevant content and try to make it that people, you know, want to watch it, you know, not just like a video I'll put up of even this. Is not going to just be us sitting here talking. You know, I'm going to put stuff in there that catch people's eyes, that want to watch it, put proper, you know, keywords and things. That's really what people want to see. And I've seen the results from first starting. I mean, this podcast is only about 3 months old now, 4 months. And I've seen and I've learned people are attracted to words, and they're attracted to sights and sounds and stuff like that. That makes them lock in on what you're saying. And then that's where I get most of my likes and most of my shares and most of my visitors come from that, not from the actual content itself sometimes putting out, but it gets them in to listen to the content.
Yeah, it's tough. And it really, you know, it's kind of like where you want to spend your time and how you want to grow. Like I'm not going to tell anybody how they should run their business. I have a whole channel on teaching people how to run businesses and like helping them run businesses.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's, the Millennial Entrepreneur, Harrison Barron. But like, I'm just giving information that I wish I knew when I first started. Like, hey, how important is an accountant, right? Like, most people don't hire an accountant until taxes are due. But like, that's the worst way to think about it, because what you should be doing is like, hey, let me call my accountant, right? And maybe your accountant, you know, my accountant isn't the cheapest, but he's not the most expensive. But like, I can call him whenever I need, and he knows I'm not going to harass him for anything. But the nice part is it's hey, thinking about getting this credit card, what are your thoughts on this? Hey, should I buy this? Is this, can I justify this with as a business expense? You made $50,000 in quarter one. Like, what does quarter two look like? Or hey, just so you know, you know this year, you know, for example, last year I was smaller than I was now. Hey, you owe $2,200 in taxes this year. Just be aware, if you keep growing at the rate that you're growing, you're gonna owe $5,000 this year. Like, so these are all things to keep in mind. And as a business owner, that data is so valuable, because then I can make better business decisions. So that's, you know, things that I just teach. And, you know, do you need insurance for your business? Well, I don't know. Like, that's for you to figure out. And I just had an insurance expert on. Like, so that's kind of what I do and what I teach. And then, hey, like, this is all stuff that I wish somebody told me when I was starting my business.
Yeah, but that's the important part. You know, like, your accountant is like what you're doing for other people. It's taking your time and effort that you have and not putting it towards trying to figure out all this, you know, money things and accounting and taxes and stuff like that. Cause you have somebody who's doing it for you and someone you trust, hopefully, you know what I mean? But, you know, that's taken away so you can make money doing what you do, you know, cause that's the whole thing. You know, it's hard when you're not focusing all your energy on that one thing that you do to make money, and you have to focus on everything else. You know, it really changes the game. You know, so when you're really focused on something and everyone else is taking care of it, and that's what people, a lot of people are kind of cheap and they're not going to want to do that. Oh, I can handle it myself. But then they don't realize they're not growing the way they should be growing. It's because they're focusing on so many things that they don't need to be focusing on. You know, I like, yeah. like in your company though, like you were talking about accounting and like insurance, I guess you guys need some type of insurance for, you know, what you're doing. So, you know, it's all those areas. So it's not like, you know, you're running blind.
Yeah. You know, definitely having a group of trusted advisors is priceless is the word that is the lowest word I could possibly use, because it's so invaluable having a team of trusted advisors. And like a lot of these advisors, like my accountant now wasn't my accountant when I first started, but he was still somebody that I always called. Like my insurance guy, you know, still gave me help and tips and tricks and things like that to grow my business long before he became my insurance guy. So, you know, however you want to grow a business, like people think, you know, as I'm starting to grow up more and more, growing a business really isn't that hard. Like customer acquisition, believe it or not, is harder. But like, if you know what you want to do, you know, down the road, then you can plan now. Like if I was to go back and do it all over again, I would have started my YouTube channel years before I started my company. I would have started my personal blog years before I started, you know, my own business. And most people don't realize, like, hey, just because you have a cool device, like you can have the cure for cancer and you could put it online. But if you don't write articles about like how it helps and why it helps and testing that you've done and things like that, there's no validation to prove that it's real, even though you might actually have solved, you know, whatever, the world's greatest mysteries, right? And people really just don't understand that. You know, there's the other flip side of it too, where you can have ads and things, but like you said, most people are cheap. Like most people don't have the income to just go spend on ads. And the cool part is for, you know, the $150 that Wix is going to cost you or Squarespace or, you know, Webflow, any of these real, you know, I say real website builders because GoDaddy and Constant Contact aren't website builders. But, you know, if you develop one of these, you can learn most of it yourself. And when it comes to another thing, when being cheap, like most people don't realize too, is like, hey, yes, you probably could do everything yourself, right? Like you could do your books yourself, right? Mm-hmm. But let's just say your accountant cost you $2,400 for the year to do your books. Out of that $2,400, it might take you 10 hours to do your accounting correctly, so the IRS doesn't come after you, right? So if you're making at least $24 an hour, right? That is what, $24 an hour times 10? No, it's $240. I lied. That's bad math.
I get what you're saying though. No, it makes sense.
And honestly, it's going to take you more than that. Like if somebody said, hey, you got to do your taxes, it's legitimately going to take me like 40 hours to do my own taxes.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
no 10, idea where to start.
10 hours is that's being very
modest. Learning. Yeah, what's doing. Right. And then you got to worry about it. Right. So, you know, and then what's called, you know, and realistically it comes out to be so much more time, energy, and effort than just hiring somebody who knows how to do it. Like anybody could go build their own website.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. But when you have that, it's people don't realize how important it is to just say, hey, let me bring in the expert. It'll save me so much more time, energy, and effort in the long term. And when you do that, you never know like where you're going to get your leads from. So my accountant has been a great referral source for people coming into my business and people hiring us and things like that, just because he sees the work that we do and he sees the, you know, what we're doing and we're charging fair rates and all that kind of stuff. And oh, okay, this guy obviously knows what he's doing. Let me refer him to my clients because they might have issues with marketing. And that works with any industry.
Yeah, no. And that was another point I wanted to go to, was it's like the people you keep around you, because, you know, you help entrepreneurs and stuff like that. But in your own sense, you are an entrepreneur and, you know, you started your own thing and you're doing the American dream. You're running a company. And like you said, you went from last year to this year. You're growing. You're doing everything right. Right. So it's like the people you keep around you. Like, is that one thing you could tell my listeners, you know, about, is like the people you have, like you said, your accountant has helped you grow and all these, you know, all these people around you, the insurance guy, you know, it's like the people you keep around you that are successful are like the most important people in your life, because those are the people that are going to keep you on a right track. You know, if you hang out with a bunch of losers, I always say you're most likely going to be a loser. You know what I mean? But if you have that core, you know, not everybody, you keep your people with you, but like when it comes to being an entrepreneur and, you know, I've learned in just a normal life, if you want to build up and do something big, usually the people around you that are doing big things are the best people to be, because it's kind of like you have somebody A, to look up to, two, to drive with, and three, you know, just something to aim for to be successful.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. And like, I have kind of two schools of thought on it. It's either surround yourself with really good people, like in business. And for anyone that goes into business, just know it's very lonely at the top, because my buddy just ran into this, and I ran into it very early on in my business. And not that I was even killing it, but like, you just realize that a lot of other people don't want to succeed that badly, right? Mm-hmm. They're content with going to a 9 to 5 and making, you know, 35, 45, 55, 65, 70, you know, whatever that number is, right? They're comfortable with that. And to a degree, that's fine. But like, as long as they're okay with it, you can't get upset, you know. But if they're complaining about how much money they make, it sucks for us as entrepreneurs, because we can kind of control how much money we make. Like, if I wanted to go make more money, all I have to do is pick up the phone, right? And start dialing. Just Wolf of Wall Street shit, right? I hope we're allowed to curse, but like,
yeah, you're good. Don't worry.
Like, that's literally it. I need to just pick up this deadly weapon, right? And just start calling leads and just start calling people and just saying, hey, you know, I want to help you with this. Where if you are upset with where you're at in life and, you know, you go home every day, that's fine. It's okay. Not everybody's going to come from a comfortable place. And I couldn't tell you how many times I've been uncomfortable in my life. But that's part of it. But then you have to work towards it. Like, I tell everybody, the most lethal thing in your life is a TV. Like, get rid of them. I think TVs are the dumbest thing in the world. The only reason why I even have a TV in my apartment is because my girlfriend loves watching TV, which whatever, it's fine. Like, that's her thing. She doesn't want to, like, she makes a little extra money on the side with her. Like, she sells like Cricut stuff and where they steam things on a clothing or whatever it is.
Happy girl, happy world, man.
That's it, man. But like, that's what she's okay with, right? Like, I'm not comfortable making $100,000 a year. I want to make $500,000. I want to make $1 million a year. Like, you know, and by doing that, I want to help a lot of people. I want to help a lot of people grow. So surround yourself with good people, no doubt about it. If you're not going to surround yourself with good people, cut off everyone. Go in a complete and utter hermit mode. Like, because bad people are so exponentially bad for you. It's hard for me to explain. Like, and for anyone that's like, I don't understand, there was a science review done a couple years ago where if somebody went to a restaurant, right, and they had a positive experience, on average, they told 3 people, right? Mm-hmm. So that means you need to serve, if you served 100 meals that night, 300 people potentially found out about your restaurant, right?
I've heard
you
that.
You serve one bad meal, right? That one person who's an unhappy customer tells 11 people. So think about that, right? Like, if you just think about the math, right? One person negates 4 to 5 people out of that restaurant, right? So if you serve 100 people per day, right? And you have 10 or 11 of them, or even 15 of them, right? A 15% fail rate on meals, right? And they're unhappy with whatever it may be, right? If it's 10 people, that's 110 people that are going to go tell bad, you know, bad stuff. That's almost half. And that's literally 15% of your stuff. Like, that is an absurd ratio. So you're better off not hanging out with those people. Just cut them off, go be a hermit, and go watch videos online. And then number 3 is get rid of shiny object syndrome. No successful millionaire is an overnight. It takes years and years and years. And the people that are like, well, I made $1 million in 3 years. It's like, well, that's great, but chances are pretty good that's not sustainable. Like, and when I say sustainable, okay, so maybe you have a successful business. Great. But if your successful business relies on Facebook ads and you don't stay up to date on Facebook ads, right, that's not sustainable, because Facebook is about to get clobbered by Apple. If anyone doesn't know, Apple's new iOS update is going to drastically reduce the amount of reach that you're going to have on your ads and the amount of privacy that you're going to be able to share, right? Now, if you think forward, I wouldn't be shocked if Android follows suit, right? Because they're trying to protect their customers' information, right? So they don't want my information out on the internet. So these are all things to take into consideration. So when that happens, right, and that happens more and will be happening more and more and more, I'm sure, that's going to crush a business. That's not a sustainable business, right? So the people that are these massive names have been doing this for years and years and years, and they stopped with the shiny object syndrome. They're not going after and doing 75 things. They're doing one business or two businesses, or they have one business that brought them all their capital so they can invest, like Warren Buffett, right? Warren Buffett invested in Coca-Cola, which made him a ton of money, and then he went out and invested in a bunch of other stuff. Tony Robbins, massive dude, been doing it for years and years and years. Brandon Burchard, if you follow online coaching, been doing it for years and years and years and years. Super sustainable businesses, not ads reliant and things like that.
From my background in it, you know, like I just learned honestly just a couple months ago about ads. I didn't even know ads existed until I saw it on Facebook. And I mean, I ran a few, you know, I do a few just try to get out there a little bit, but it's different. I'm not selling anything. You know what I mean? I run a free, basically you listen to my podcast. I just want traffic, you know? Sure. So like, you know, in my situation like that, like, I understand, like, it's not, I'm not going to have like a Joe Rogan fan base in 3 months or a year or 2 years. Sure. What I've learned was through research, because I do what you did, like you said, go online, you look stuff up, you listen to people, what their experiences are, stuff like that. And it said it usually takes about 18 months before you even have a decent size audience that like starts to build. It usually takes 18 months, they said. And that's not even going to be anything great, but it's good. If you can make it through 18 months and you can build up a clientele, you have a better success rate of keeping your show going.
Sure.
Now, how true is it? I don't know. I'm not 18 months in yet. I'm going to see how it goes.
But it's definitely true.
Because I mean,
I've had one for 3 years.
Right. So
shout out to the Brutally Honest podcast.
You'll get your plug. Don't worry. but yeah, so it's like, you know, like you were saying too, also about like the shiny object, you know, it's like, I've never been that way. I know a lot of people are, you know, they get so discouraged. You know, I already seen in 3 months, I've seen people start a podcast and they've already shut it down because they're like, oh my God, I only have 5 listeners a day or blah, blah, or even less or nothing a day. And I'm like, listen, you got to keep going, you know, because I joined groups where it's like trying to be motivational. And I'm like, listen, I don't have all the experience in the world, but all I can tell you is just hustle, you know, do what you got to do. I have a full-time job and I still hustle this every day. Well, I work, I come home, I'm doing this, you know, I'm always doing something to stay busy. And, you know, because ultimately I know if I can make this into my own brand by, you know, just working at it, I can slowly cut off that. What you were saying, that feeling sustainable at working, you know, your daily job and making a X amount of income every day. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like you, man. I want to make as much money as I possibly can. I'm not saying I'm not comfortable. I'm comfortable with what I do. You know, if I didn't want a podcast and I just wanted to live my life, I would be pretty damn successful just the way I am right now. But I don't want that. I want to keep moving up, you know? So it really, you know, it really deciphers, you know, between the boys and the men. You know what I mean? You want not any discredit to the people that are comfortable, but it's like, you know, you have that mentality where you just want to stay where you're at. And then you have the other people who want to build up. And then you, like you were saying, again, the difference between the shiny object and you, the people that want to build up, but easily get discredited. You're never going to go anywhere. You know, you have to just take your time, hustle, and do the best you can, you know? So I know I do appreciate people that are entrepreneurs, man. And like I said, even after this, I hope to stay in contact with you, man. Like I like good people, you know what I mean? That's what this show is about. It's about learning things about from good people, you know, and there's all different points of view. You have a very capitalistic approach to things, you know what I mean? And that's a great thing, I think, you know? And then I have people on my show that have other opinions that are more, you know, loosey goosey, little like liberal type things, but I also agree with them. You know, I just feel like there's a medium to all this in a sense.
No, I agree. I agree. There's a lot of things that, not to go too political, but like there's a lot of things that I agree with and there's a lot of things I don't agree with. But like, hey, to each their own. When it comes to business, it's like, hey, you know, the way I look at it is it's my business. I'd rather not to pay more taxes. You know, I don't think I've never really met anybody that likes paying taxes.
Hell no.
You know, but there are some things that, you know, ethically, but on the flip side of things too, like I think that there's a lot of people that, you know, think that minimum wage and stuff like that should be a thing. It's like, well, I firmly believe that minimum wage shouldn't be a thing. You should be paid based on the value of work that you bring to the company, right? So why do salespeople get paid so much money? Because they make the company so much money, right? But salespeople are probably the closest thing to entrepreneurs. The only difference between a salesperson and an entrepreneur is the salesperson doesn't have to execute. Where the entrepreneur, you know, myself, right? So I have a small company. We have, what, 3-4 employees now? So like 3.5, I would say, where it's like, hey, you know, I do sales and I have to do the execution. So it's a lot of work on my end, but then I know that in the long term, I will have earned, you know, the money that I earn will be significantly more than anybody else in my business because it's my company. It's what I'm working on. So I've built that whole thing. And that's really what matters to me and why some people are like, well, you know, I hate the word lucky because it's like, well, I didn't get lucky. I built the whole thing myself. Mm-hmm. And most people can't, you know, don't understand that or don't want to do that or don't want to acknowledge that they need to do that. And that's, look, that's teach their own, right?
Yeah. And listen, I completely agree with you. Like, I'm 100% with you on it. I think if you want to make a living and you want to be successful, you got to work at it. There's nothing for free in this world. There really isn't. You know, you can have stuff for free, but you're not going to be living that good. And then you're going to complain about, you can't complain about how your life is, you know, if you're just collecting free stuff. It's hard because if you start giving away things, you know, as an entrepreneur for you, if you just had to start paying your, you know, if you had a bigger employee base, you start just having to pay them this much money. It's like, how hard are they going to work for you knowing that they're automatically going to get a certain amount of money? You know, it's kind of, it kind of defeats the hunger and people that want to build up, you know, and that's the people that, like you said, the boys and men, it's like, you're comfortable where you're at and you really don't want to move up and you're going to make a certain amount of money. You're going to be good and you're not going to worry about it. You know, in my business, like, I'm a grower, man. I'm always trying to top my numbers from the month before. I'm always trying to top it to the next month and the next month. I'm always trying to get that number one spot. Cause like, yeah, I do HVAC, but HVAC is not HVAC back in the '80s or stuff like that. A lot of it's sales now, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big sales industry when it comes to systems and stuff like that, upgrades and all that. So it's a constant competition between techs and salesmen and stuff like that to see who can bring the most growth to the company. So if you can bring growth to the company, you deserve more money. And, you know, companies know that. So if you make money, you will make money if they're making money.
Sure. No, I agree 1,000%. And most people don't realize, like, most people really don't understand that, you know, you're paid on the value of work that you bring to, you know, you bring to the table. So, you know, it's like, that's why salespeople make so much money, because they're the ones earning all the income for the company, right? Without salespeople, you can't run a business and make money without salespeople, whether you're doing the sales or somebody else is doing the sales. But sales are undoubtedly the most important job because you need them to keep your business growing.
Yeah, no, then I love the sales guys, because in my industry, it's mostly, you know, we do our job. And then for a technician like me, it's more or less, you know, going through the options, telling people what their options are, and then ultimately getting a salesperson in the door if that's what is necessary. And then it's up to them to close. So it's a chain of command. So the more Yep. times you can get a salesperson in the, you know, in the door, the more successful you're going to be, as long as you're doing the right thing, which I always do the right thing, you know, and then they make a sale, you get a sale off of it too, you know. And it's like, there's some guys who don't believe in that. And I've talked to some of my coworkers and like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. It's like, you're not forcing anything down anybody. You're just giving people options, and people have a will to do stuff. Like, we're in a free market. People want to do something with their lives, they can. And, you know,
it's so true. Like, yeah, it's a free market. You're not forcing anyone to do anything. You're not that's the beautiful part about capitalism. Like, it's just like, I don't, you know, for all the most successful people, like, the vast majority of them didn't get wealthy, you know, because they screwed people. And even if, you know, for the handful that did get super wealthy because they screwed somebody, right? So let's just take Jordan Belfort, right? If you want to consider him for breaking, you know, the law, if you want to, you know, if you want to go into and think about, you know, you want to think about, what's the other guy Ponzi, right? The Ponzi scheme, right?
Oh, Bernie Madoff.
Yes. Like, you know, it catches up to you, right? Like, yes, you might make a lot of money in a short period of time, but people that don't have sustainable incomes, have built an audience or really built a company, you could tell very quickly, because if you keep an eye on them, they might be really rich for a couple of years and then they eventually fall off because they're not constantly working at it. They're not constantly building it. So if you see somebody like, oh my God, I went to high school with this kid, right? Like, and now he's a millionaire. Well, keep an eye on him, because if he sustains being a millionaire for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years, like, hey, you might want to go have a conversation with him and be like, hey, how'd you do it? Right. Mm-hmm. But if they show you and like, they're like, oh, I did this, and it was a little shady and we did this, right? Like, anybody could be popular on YouTube. You could go buy followers on YouTube. I could buy 100,000 followers on Instagram right now if I wanted to, right? It's like $50 or something like that. It's like, you know, you have to really look at like what they're doing and see if it's sustainable, see if it's a real business. And then, you know, those are the people that you should follow. But the people that are like super kind of sketchy and things like that, like you have to keep an eye on those things. Like, what are they teaching? Are they real? Do they have proof in their pudding? Like, that's all stuff that, in my opinion, is super important.
I mean, there's some people that don't follow up with their, you know, what they're doing. So like, you know, it's kind of like the one hit wonder syndrome. It's like they get into one thing and then they just stick with it. And they're not trying to develop into different areas too. And that's mostly like products. Cause I have a couple of friends that actually made products and actually made good money on them. But, you know, now they're not really developing anything and they kind of just faded out in the wind, you know? So it's like, you don't really hear about these products anymore because they're not moving to the next. It's like, my whole thing is if I'm developing something as an entrepreneur, as soon as that product is out and selling, I'm going to have somebody doing all that for me as I'm working on the next trend and I'm working on the next thing, you know?
Innovate or die.
That's right. Because if you're not, you're going to die. You're going to die quick.
For anyone curious, 50,000 Instagram followers is $250, by the way.
50,000 for 250? Oh, yeah. Man. Well, but who are these Instagram
followers? That's exactly right? Like, they're all fake accounts. Like, you could buy, literally, there's packages. Back when I was more into social media and stuff like that, we focus a lot more on like content creation now because it's way more sustainable and like you can actually prove that you're getting leads for people. But like people were like, hey, well, can you just buy me? I'll be the first one to admit I absolutely bought Instagram followers for people, but they asked me, like I told them no, like it's not a good idea. And then somebody didn't believe me and literally I bought 3,000 followers in front of them in, you know, it was like $6 or whatever it was right in front of them. And they're like, no way. And I go, watch here, bye. And then once I got approved, I was with them for a couple hours. And once I got approved, my phone lit up like a Christmas tree for like 2 hours. And it was just like random follower after random follower after random follower. And you're like, you know, people don't realize that this is a thing, you know? And
yeah, a lot of people do it, man. I know a lot of people do it because I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. People that I'm friends with or they add me and all of a sudden they get a mass following of people. And I'm like, how the fuck did they do that? And I'm looking at, but you look at the names, you go on the profiles, you're like, they don't follow nobody or nobody follows them. It's like, who are these people? Who, it's so weird, sketchy accounts. And it's, but it's like, who are you growing to then? You know what I mean? Like, who are you putting you're putting your content out there for a bunch of robots. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Robots aren't going to interact. Oh, you have to pay for the interactions too.
Yeah. You have to pay for the interaction. I tell that to everybody. Like, you know, it's funny. One of my friends who's also a competitor, you know, one of my employees was like, hey, how did they get so many Instagram followers so quickly? And I looked at it and it's like, they have like 8,000 Instagram followers. They're a younger company than we are. Granted, they post probably a little bit more on social media, but they have 8,000 followers and they're getting 10 likes. It's like, there's no, the like to follower ratio is so far off, you know, to accumulate that many people. Like, you have to, I know it's mainly chicks, but I know chicks that grind for their like entrepreneurship lifestyle. And they're at, you know, one of my friends, Courtney, she's at like, I don't know, 15,000 people. That girl's posting every single day. Like, and she's posting really good content. Like, and she's only at 15,000 and she's getting thousands of likes per post.
Oh yeah. No, those social, like, what does she just do? Like her lifestyle. It's not like anything other than that.
She's a fitness coach.
Okay, so but still, it's more or less, but it's the content, you know what I mean? You put out good content and you have a bunch of followers, you're going to keep getting those likes and stuff, and you know it's real. I mean, I feel like women have it pretty made when it comes on there, so most of the time, but it still takes a lot of work. It doesn't matter, you know, like a woman can get on there, get 2,000 followers just because she looks good and people want to follow her, but like if you're not putting out good content, you won't get to that 15,000, 20,000 people who follow you. And then, you know, there's people out there get hundreds of thousands, and then I check them out and they're not even putting content out there like that. And I'm like, how, like, you know what I mean? That it's crazy. Yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy, but like, look, at the end of the day, it comes back to like what we do, right? It's like good content works no matter what. Like, I just released, or I'm in the process of releasing, I already recorded it. It's just got to go up. But like, I don't know if you know what Sourdough Starter is. Mm-hmm. Do you know what Sourdough Starter is?
Nah.
So Sourdough Starter is natural yeast that forms in grain and flour, and you have to feed it, right? And it takes 5 to 7 days to grow this like sludgy looking flour mix, right? And it's fermenting, right? The yeast is eating the sugars and converting it into alcohol and gas and all that kind of stuff. And you need that to make sourdough bread, right? That's why it's called starter. And you have to feed it. It's literally like a pet, right? It just sits in like a jar and you feed it. And the cool part about this, and there's a reason why I'm telling you about sourdough, is because it's so hard for me to explain what I do to people. Like, people really still, like, most people don't understand what I do or like how it really, how the whole thing works. Not even so much how, like, what we do, but it's really how the whole process works. And the cool part is the company that I bought the flour from is a company called King Arthur, right? So, King Arthur Baking Company or something like that. And the really cool part is I was looking up to how to make sourdough starter, and I didn't know what kind of flour I needed. I knew the kind of process in my head. I'm definitely a bit of a cook, but mm-hmm. I was like, you know, what flour do I actually need? So of course I go on Google how to make sourdough starter, right? And what's the process needed to do it? And what flour do I need? Sure enough, guess who wrote the post? King Arthur Baking Company, right? Mm. How ironic, right? So King Arthur Baking Company sells unbleached flour, all-purpose flour, which is what I needed, right? And then they provided me with the information to know how to do it. So now I know, and they show this beautiful guide with photos and videos and all that kind of stuff, right? They show this huge guide and say, by the way, hey, if you need flour to make your sourdough starter, this is the one we recommend. And it's their product. Guess which flour is on my counter? King Arthur Baking. Right? Why? Because they're the ones that gave me the information I needed to make the stuff, and now I'm making it.
You build that trust.
You build that trust, you add a value.
Right. So it's not just flour. It's not like, oh, I don't know who made this flour. Oh, they're actually teaching me how to use the flour. Oh, they make all, and then you go into other products they probably have. Oh, King Arthur also makes this.
Yep.
It's like, let me go check this out. And then you
exactly.
It might not even be intentional. It's just, you just know the label. You just know the name, you know?
And that's where branding comes in.
Right.
Like, that's how it goes.
Right. And that's the crazy thing. A lot of it's subliminal, you know? And I've been talking to a lot of my guests about, you know, I had a hypnotherapist on here who was telling me a lot about, like, the power of suggestion, you know? He was really digging deep on stuff like that. And that's exactly what it is. It's just like, they're just putting these things out there that people are just catching, and it just hits their brain. They don't even realize it's hitting the brain. And then all of a sudden, when they're at the store, they see that label. It's like, oh, I want to get that because I've already bought this from them and it was good. You know, I mean, I don't know how hard it is to make flour, but I mean, either way, it's like, it doesn't have to be the best flour in the world. It's probably really good flour, but it doesn't have to be. It's just the brand. Like you said, the brand is everything. Yep. So it's a great world we live in when, you know, people can do stuff like that, you know, a little scary, I always say, just like looking up data and kind of warping people's minds to buy things. But listen, it's like we said before, it's a free world, man. People can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah. You know, I attribute that all the time. It's like, you know, if you're unhappy, there's no excuse for people to be unhappy anymore. We live in a world today where you can make money doing literally anything. You know, whatever you wanted, right? There's you got everything from, you know, streamers making millions of dollars to hot chicks selling their underwear, right? Like, and everything in between.
Exactly.
You know, there's no reason, right? And if you don't like where you're at, and if you don't like that you're making $15 an hour, YouTube University. Like, I didn't know anything when I started marketing. I didn't take a single marketing class in college. I can guarantee you I'm better than probably 80%+ of marketers out there. Would I put myself in the top 10 percentile? No, I think there's always more than I can learn, right? But like, I'm definitely way better than most. And most people that say they do SEO don't actually do SEO, which I always think is comical. And they're calling me to see, you know, to get pricing to see if I could do it for them. But like, most people don't realize, like if you're not happy, go figure out something else. Like, if you want to go start a business, go start a blog and see if you build a following. Go spend $250, spend 2 years, build an audience, and then go sell a product afterwards. Like, I have a project website, and I it's up to you if you want me to plug it or not. It's all about absolutely. Cigars and bourbon. So it's called bottleandash.com. And it's a project website for us. Literally, I haven't spent an hour of time really on the website. I hired a VA. I literally, and I was like, I wonder if a VA could literally write all of this for me and actually grow a website, right? And like, I just checked earlier today and I'm at 100 visits per week. Like, most people don't even understand the value of 100 visits per week. And for anyone that's like, well, it's only 100 visitors per week. Well, let me tell you something. if you were to go buy Google Ads or buy Facebook Ads, to buy 100 clicks is going to cost you, on average, if you're on Google, anywhere between $1 and $5 per click, right? So that's at least a minimum of, I'm saving $100 to $500 per week on ads just by writing good content. I didn't even write this content. This is just purely a project that we're on. And then on the flip side of things, it's like, hey, even if I went with Facebook, you can get Facebook down to maybe 25 cents a click, maybe 10 cents a click if you're like an assassin, but that's for a visitor. These people are voluntarily coming to my website over and over and over again. And as time goes on, it builds up this beautiful snowball, right? So this is a total project website. We do plan on making money on it at some point down the road, but like, we're just building it right now. And like, can, you know, does it really matter? Like, are we spending a good chunk of money every month? Of course we are. But like, it's me and a couple partners that are all doing it. But like, for that website, right, we're just, we hired a VA, we spend a couple hundred dollars a month on it, and literally somebody else is doing all the hard work for us.
Takes money to make money.
And that's exactly it. Like, yeah, we're spending, you know, for some people over a week's salary for you know, for them. But like, on the flip side of things, it's like, is it a shot in the dark? Of course it is. Like, are we all going to invest several thousand dollars by the time we actually make a dollar back? Of course we are. But like, that's the risk you're willing to take. But if this does work out, right, then hey, that could be huge for us. So it's building that audience. And then once we have that audience, who knows what will sell, right? There's a million things. I happen to be a cigar smoker myself, but like, most people don't realize, like, once you have that audience, and that's why I say, go start a website, go write a blog, go create content, and then find that audience. Once you have an audience, monetizing that is the easiest thing in the world. That's the crazy part.
I'll tell you, that's what I feel like the hardest thing is, just getting the audience, bro. It's very hard.
Yeah, once you get the, look at Joe Rogan, that dude mints money. He will never be poor again.
Oh no, right? Hell no.
And disregard the shot, the Spotify deal, but like, he built up this huge audience of people, right? If he said, God forbid, he went broke, right? And let's just say he's got, I don't know, 5 million episodes, 5 million listeners per episode, right? If he just said, hey guys, I'm broke, I need $2 from everybody, right? Can you guys help me out? I'd probably be willing to venture even if it's 1%, right? And he has 1 million followers. That's still what, $10,000. That's $10,000 if he just asks everybody for a dollar.
And you know he'd get more than that. He'd get more than
I'm
that.
Sure he would. Grant Cardone literally did it at 10X. And he goes, hey, who here would give me $100? And there was like 15 or 20 people that got up and handed him $100. Now, he donated all that money. But like, that is when you have an audience, that's what happens when you have it.
Yeah. People are loyal to you. And that's why I always tell everyone who listens, because I mean, I have some that build up in 3 months, and it's been great. I'm very happy that people that actually, you know, continuously listen to my show. And I always tell them I'm appreciative for everybody. When I get messages and stuff like that, you know, people I know, people I don't know, there's a lot of people I have no idea. And I think it's crazy that people actually listen to the show, but I think it's pretty good. I love it. But other than that, I mean, I think we're going to wrap it up with that. You know, all your other plugs, I know you're talking about your bourbon and cigar company. If you want to plug out your,
even trying to plug that company. It's just literally
plug it out, man.
Building
it
the out. Audience. Yeah. It's bottlenash.com. BOTTLENDASH.com.
I'm going to check it out. I like bourbon.
You know, myself. And literally I think I wrote maybe one blog for it. I think we all wrote like one or two blogs, and then everything else is all written by VA. And once we like go all in on that site, like that site, you know, and that's the route that we're going, right? Like, it could make, it could easily make $100,000 a year in a year or so. Like, you know, it's just putting in the work. It takes money to make money, right? Your podcast setup wasn't free.
Hell no, it wasn't. But it's been worth it so far, man. I love what I do. Great to have Harrison Barron here today. I hope everybody has a nice day, whatever day you're listening to this podcast. And always remember, reverse the universe. Money, 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 money.